Cloud.
Okay, great. All right, welcome everybody to Planning Commission, February 23rd, 2021. Before we jump into this, there is a proclamation that we read during COVID-19. Whereas the Planning Commission Chair has determined that conducting public meetings of the Planning Commission with an anchor location where the public could attend in person presents a substantial risk to the health and safety of those who may be present at that location based upon the current COVID-19 pandemic and the limited staff support to properly ensure physical distancing and sufficient disinfection for attendees and staff. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Planning Commission shall hold meetings for the month of February 2021 by electronic means only and will not include an anchor location where the public could attend in person. Okay. So it's great to be with you all. Before we jump into the agenda, let's start with a Pledge of Allegiance, and Commissioner Tucker is going to lead us in that. Commissioner?
Okay. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated.
Thanks, Commissioner. Okay, now before our regular agenda items, we have an open public comment item. If you have a comment or question, anything you'd like to share, unmute yourself and say something. If you find that you're having any trouble that way, you can put something in the chat box and let us know if you have anything that you want to say, or you can even just put a comment in the chat box. So I'm taking a minute to provide that opening. One last check. Okay, hearing none. So we'll move on to our item four, which is a consideration of a conditional use permit for Illustrious Industries at 580 North, 700 West. And Mackenzie, are you leading out on this one?
Sure am. Conditional use permits, they're becoming my specialty. Okay, so as you stated, this is Illustrious Industries. They're proposing to go in at 580 North, 700 West. First thing you should all note is they will only be occupying the building on the western side of the property that's highlighted in yellow. Sure, you can just go over. It's on the intersection. There you go. So they are in the MD zone, and in that zone, used merchandise stores require a conditional use permit. And staff has found them to require this because they sell used home appliances and associated parts online and in store. And I've been told the majority of their sales are online, but they do like to have a little bit of a showroom area. And that has been broken down in the staff report as far as their parking is concerned. So staff found that they are required to have 12 parking stalls. And on their parking plan right here, they have provided the exact amount of 12. They also will have 3 16-foot box trucks. They are talking about removing that down to 2, but as of right now, it is 3. And DRC has recommended that they solely park those trucks on the western side of the building, along 700 West, just because there was concern if they made that into customer employee parking, having people back out onto that road. So to avoid that, we've utilized that space as box truck parking. And I think those are our major items. So
Mackenzie, can we just add too on that where that box truck parking is, it's already where there are loading docks. And if you remember when, some of you will remember anyway, when Firefly, that company that made the big machines that cut sod, anyway, when they were at this location, we always had trouble with great big trucks delivering from that side because they'd be sticking out in the road. But these box trucks will fit on that pad there now. So,
and that actually,
the bay doors.
Yeah, and that brings up a really great point that I forgot to mention. Sherry, if you go back one slide, they do, their current parking plan has it planned that they will be blocking one of these bay doors. But the applicant has found that they only really will use one, and the DRC thought it was fine if they blocked the one, assuming they still had the appropriate access they needed to operate their business. So the DRC at this time recommends approval for the conditional use permit for Illustrious Industries located at 580 North, 700 West, with the following condition: that all employee and guest parking be delineated and signed appropriately, because I don't think there's stripes right there or right now, and it's just hard to tell exactly where people are supposed to go. So I'll open it back up to you guys.
Thanks, Mackenzie. Is the applicant here and wants to just add anything before go ahead.
Mr. Gill, Caden Gill. I don't know if he'll have anything to add, but he is here, which is awesome.
Okay, and Mr. Gill, you're welcome to add anything that you want to. You don't have to. Okay, any comments or questions for staff or the applicant?
I have a couple questions. First of all, is there a reason why in the code the sale of used merchandise would require a non-conditional permit versus other merchandise? I just want to make sure if something, I need to be paying attention to something, it's signaling that to me, because I don't see that.
So I think the original intent of the ordinance was to address pawn shops. And unfortunately we had a big long list of categories, and we probably had something that said repair and sale of used appliance or something would probably be a permitted use. But it's just because it's the used, and we needed to make sure that we want to make sure that if it's a pawn shop that they aren't stealing things and or receiving stolen merchandise and reselling them. So that's why it was a conditional use permit, I believe.
Perfect. That totally answers my question. And then I just have a second question about hazardous material. I'm not familiar with the used appliance world, but I am familiar enough to know that there might be some hazardous material there, like Freon in old refrigeration units. So is there any plan or is there any piece to consider about their plan for managing those hazardous materials, or how is that managed, or is there any oversight there, or is that not?
It looks like Caden just jumped off. I can't see him on here, but I haven't heard anything about that, and I didn't think to ask that question. So learning curve for me for future, but I don't have an answer.
I'm assuming that they are, anything that isn't working in that way, they have to dispose of it properly in the fire department and the health department. But I think like they have to dispose of old refrigerators. There are certain guidelines at the dumps, like you can't just go and dump it, and it has to go to a special recycler. And I thought I read that in their application, so that they have something where they recycle parts, so that would go through that recycler.
So, and that was noted. So with their three box trucks, one of the box trucks will be used to transport things and the actual, oh, is that them? The actual products. And then the other ones will be used to store basically like scrap metal and items like that. And when they fill up, they will then be relocated to the proper dumping site, is what I was told. And I think Caden's back, so maybe we can re-ask him. Can someone confirm that for me?
Hey,
Caden. I think he's back. Maybe we can re-ask.
Hey,
anyway, Caden, we're having trouble hearing you. You're breaking up pretty badly. Sounds like, Caden, we're having trouble hearing you. You're breaking up pretty badly.
I how about this, guys? I can call Caden on my phone and we can funnel him in. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay, just give me 2 seconds. Let me hurry and just call.
You're echoing on his, whatever his device is, so I just muted him.
Good call. Okay, give me 2 seconds.
I don't know why it's doing that, but.
I got to pull his number back up really quick.
Technology, don't we just love it?
Let me ask a follow-up question then while we're maybe sorting that out. When this business would apply for a business license and it's potentially they are dealing in some hazardous material, is that part of them securing the business license that they present a plan for how to manage that hazardous material, or is that not part of the plan?
Yes, it is. As far as for the fire department, the fire district will investigate that. They will look at the MSDS sheets of the items that will be stored on there and talk to them about that. And then if they are disposing anything that goes into the sewer system, they have to do a pretreatment, and they'll have to do a meeting with the sewer district and obviously with the conditional use permit. So what happened on this particular one is they applied for a business license, and when it got to Mackenzie, she looked at the use and went, oh, this is a conditional use permit. We need to refer him to ask for a conditional use permit. So that's how we got here. Otherwise it would have just been reviewed if it was a permitted use by the city. And well, okay, first off, the fire district for the storage of it. And then if it was particularly, if the business was located in a wellhead protection zone, then that would be reviewed by our assistant city engineer. And she goes over all of those things to make sure whatever chemicals they have on site and that they have proper protections to not spill anything onto the ground.
Perfect. Thank you. That answered my question. And that answers my question for what Caden may have answered as well. So thank you.
Okay. I think I've got Caden here. So the question that was asked is, do you guys have a plan for hazardous materials that might be a part of taking apart the refrigeration and items like that?
No, we don't do any refrigeration, actually. No fridges or anything like that.
That was the best answer. Okay, does anyone else have any questions for Caden or me? Sorry, they're not saying anything right now. I'll let you know.
Hey, I have a question. So the appliances that they do are like stoves and washer dryers. Is that the basic what they're doing?
Yeah, we do almost primarily dishwashers, microwaves, and stoves, and we don't do anything else.
Okay.
All right, sounds good. All right, any other questions from the commission? And if not, I'd entertain a motion.
So this is Ron Jorgensen. No questions, but I would like to move that the Planning Commission approve the conditional use permit for Illustrious Industries located at 580 North, 700 West with the following condition. And that's just one condition: all employee and guest parking be delineated and signed appropriately.
Okay.
Commissioner, do we have a second?
Second.
From Commissioner Van Langeveld. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously. So great. Good luck, Mr. Gill.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Sorry for the issue.
Okay, so now we have a discussion item on Hatch Park goals and objectives. And Sherry is going to set the stage for this item. Sherry?
So I'm going to give you a little overview of what we're doing with Hatch Park. As many of you may know or you may not know, we have been, as a city, purchasing the homes that surround Hatch Park. We have 3 left to purchase. And then we are going to expand Hatch Park onto those properties. So as part of that, we've started a planning process, and we formed a steering committee to go over the what we want to have in the park, kind of what kind of a park do we want to have? Is it, should it be all sports things? Should it be a nature park? Should it be, you know, playgrounds? What should go into this park when we plan it? And so we have a planning commission representative, that's Catherine, on the steering committee. And I just wanted to bring the planning commission up to speed about the planning process, and then give you some opportunity to give us some feedback that we can take back to the steering committee if you think that there are important elements that absolutely the park committee needs to work to put into it, or at least examine whether it should be in there. So I'm just going to give you a brief overview of why Hatch Park is so important to us. So as you know, everyone here should know, we have our general plan that was adopted in 2013. And as part of what came out of that general plan was the need to have a town center defined. And part of that town center is Hatch Park. It's kind of like our cornerstone, shall we say, for our town center. It really sets the stage for community events right in our town center. And it is part of our goal of unifying our city. We have, you know, so many residents on the east side and so many residents on the west side, and we want to just bring Hatch Park to be like a community gathering where everybody in the citywide feels like that's the city park for our community. So this kind of gives you an idea about that. The other part of the component of the general plan was the bus rapid transit system that we've been talking about, and the transit stops. And our closest transit stop to Hatch Park will be at Center Street and Highway 89. And so it's very walkable to transit. And that's why, you know, anyway, I don't know what I was going to say there. So I'm just going to go on. All right. So here are just some, and I can send you these slides if you really want to review all this data in this information in depth. But this kind of goes over what the general plan in 2013 did as far as addressing the park, you know, creating the central gathering place, making it the focal point for the town center, of course, the expansion of it, and then encouraging some redevelopment around the park, which obviously we've started to do, and we've started to see when we see City Center across the street here. If you remember the Hepworth townhomes, so those are on 150 North and they'll be across the street. And that was a vacant parcel, it wasn't a redevelopment, but that's kind of similar to the pattern that the general plan calls for. And so then we led in from our 2013 general plan adoption, we followed the next step of implementation, and that was a plan that was specific for the town center. And we did a town center master plan. And as you can see, again, Hatch Park became a very important focal point and kind of a connection for the community through the trails, through the trail system that we're implementing, and then the redevelopment. Next slide. Okay. Again, that town center master plan was adopted in 2016. In this part of the town center plan, you can see that we'd address pedestrian and bicycle networks. We're trying to make sure that everybody has a route to get to Hatch Park from any portion of the city. So here are some of the features that our town center master plan goes into. Talks about what our streets should look like, what our cross sections should look like, what our bike lanes should look like, the landscaping that we want, kind of the feeling that we want in our town center. Again, here are just some more examples of the kind of things that we want in our town center, and we will incorporate some of these things into the park as well. One of the things that the town center master plan did is identify the cross sections for the streets. So this is a cross section for Center Street at Hatch Park. So if you were standing at the corner of Center Street and Main Street and you're looking west toward the freeway, this is the chosen cross section for the street. So a center median with trees and shrubbery, on-street parking that's angled for the park. One of the things that we've talked about is wanting to pull some of that parking out of the park and put it around the outside of the park so that it's not all in one big spot. It's just, you know, which is just a big sea of asphalt and isn't very appealing when you look at a park. But that's one of the considerations in the Town Center Master Plan was to reimagine the parking at Hatch Park. So a few years ago in 2017, our next step, we did a Main Street neighborhood survey. This only went out to the residents between between Center Street, the freeway, and Highway 89 up through the Cobble Rest neighborhood. And so some interesting demographics came out of this as far as the age of the residents in the area. You can see we have a lot in the 30 and up categories, quite a few in the 55 plus. So we do have an aging neighborhood here that will be the primary users of Hatch Park, but we don't want them to be the only users of Hatch Park. So we are working on future surveys that will include the entire city. We also asked people what amenities they would like to see in the park. And you can see that walking paths and pavilions and picnic tables, a splash pad and playground equipment, they all ranked really, really high, being very important. Things that ranked a little low, and which is kind of surprising, but remember this was back in 2017 when we did this, and pickleball was at the bottom of the list, but I think it was before the big, before it got became cool to play pickleball. I don't know, maybe, is it cool to play pickleball? Maybe. recently, just last-
So again, those came from the Main Street
just
survey.
The Main Street, yeah, just the Main Street. Okay, that was the main. So where I'm just prefacing that that's not the citywide. And so we don't have a full picture of it, but we are working on citywide surveying with Qualtrics that we'll be able to do soon. So the active transportation plan that was adopted January of 2020, that's a joint active transportation plan with Bountiful and Centerville. And it assures that when we build infrastructure for our active transportation, so our bicycle routes or our pedestrian routes, that when they cross the borders of one city to the next, that we have the same facilities, or at least we can transition to their facilities in an appropriate way. Because it doesn't make any sense to have a trail or bike path go right here to the Bountiful boundary and then have them have the bike path one street down instead of on that street continuing. So that was what we did. Our city adopted it last year. And again, Hatch Park is a focal point of that in all of the routes for active transportation coming to the Town Center into Hatch Park. So we have really made Hatch Park the center of our concern. One other thing.
Can I ask a tangential question? Yes. I admit it, okay? But if you go back to that one, just the previous slide, and then you don't have to go back to the other one I'm thinking of, but in the Town Center Master Plan, there's a ped and trail network. Does this supersede the Town Center, which has more detail?
I don't think it supersedes. I think it complements it. They should fit together with the same routes. If anything, would be additional features in the active transportation plan than would be in the Town Center Master Plan. So in the active transportation plan, it gives us a better, you know, like cross sections of what an actual trail should be, how it should be constructed, how wide is it, how wide are the shoulders, what's the thickness of the asphalt, things like that.
Okay.
Because that was one of the deliverables that we wanted, was some cut sheets for standards that we wanted to apply across the three cities so that we had equal infrastructure.
Cool.
Okay. The last thing that we've done is our Town Center branding and wayfinding, and that was adopted in September, I believe, of last year. So this, what we wanted to do with the Town Center was make a logo for just the Town Center. So instead of just using the city logo that we use citywide for everything, we wanted to play off that, but make it special so that when you arrived in the Town Center, you knew you were in the Town Center. I remember when I was being interviewed for this job, one of the things Ken asked me is, what do you think one of the biggest problems with North Salt Lake is? And I was like, well, I'm guessing it's identity and you don't know where your downtown is. And that was exactly right. And that they had been working on that because and that was just true. I just knew, I was like, where is the downtown of North Salt Lake? I don't know. I mean, you go to some of these other towns, you can tell, you know where Provo downtown is. I don't know where Orem's downtown is, but I do know where Provo's downtown is, or you know where Salt Lake's is, or you know where Brigham City's downtown is. And so we're trying to create that feeling that people know where downtown North Salt Lake is, and it's a special place. So these are the consultant that came up with our branding. We went through several iterations, several design choices, but this is the Town Center brand. In our Town Center branding and wayfinding guide, we also include all of what the street furnishing should look like as far as benches and bicycle racks and bollards and tree grates and the street lights. And in fact, on this slide, you can see this is one of our new Town Center street lights. So our Town Center street lights are different than the lights that are used in other parts of the city. They have this really cool monument base that has our city name on it. And then we have the flag arms, and we have the arm for the big flower baskets that you see. So with that, oh, and then this part is about, this is the public art that the Town Center talks about, what kind of public art you should have and how you should get it. Kind of gives us some guidelines for criteria of choosing public art, and gives artists an idea of what we're looking for. But in the future, we'll probably have some contests and things like that to come up with some public art. So that should be fun. And then they came up with actual signages and sign types and then placement for those types of signs. So this is a map in our wayfinding guide that tells you what kind of signs we have. So we have different signs like these signs down here. These are our Town Center entry monuments. So they'll be on Highway 89, south of town and north of on Highway 89. And then there'll be one up by community gardens, and then one down by Hatch Park when you come into that side of the Town Center. So let me just show you some more of those. So we have trail signs that incorporate you can tell you how to get places. So when this is on the trail, you can say, hey, how do I get to City Hall? And it'll say this direction, 10-minute walk or 5-minute bike ride, something like that. Or this way to Hatch Park when you're down at Mathis Park on the trail, it will tell you how to get there and where the trail goes. And then it will also have the trail maps on one side, and then some of the walking and bicycling times that it will take you to get the places that you want to go. So kind of cool on that. These are our informational signs. They're a three-dimensional column, a square column, with a map for the Town Center on it that'll have specific places on it that you might be interested in walking to. And then again, with some directional signage. And then this is an auto sign, a directional auto sign that can, we didn't want to focus just on auto. We wanted to make sure that we were focusing on pedestrians as well. These are the flags, the banners that will go on the streetlights in the Town Center. So these are the logos that the city and the colors that the city council approved. The designer came up with these and made a suggestion for them. So this are the colors that we will go with. And we can also redo these we'll do holiday ones, different ones for Liberty Fest, and ones for maybe we'll do one at Easter, Halloween and Christmas and stuff like that. And then this is one of the map signs that we'll have at various places. These will probably be mostly in the park that kind of just gives you an overview of Town Center, excuse me. And you all know that we're working on the form-based code, and the form-based code even calls for some of the improvements in Hatch Park when it talks about putting a community center there, what kind of architecture that we would like there, what kind of materials any structure should be built of in the park. And so where we're at with the park committee, we've had our third meeting. We had our third meeting last night. We meet every 2 weeks on Monday. And we've done quite a few brainstorming activities. The latest brainstorming activity we did last night was to take the park, take a map of the park like this, and we had it drawn out to scale, printed at scale. And then we had little chips, just like Envision Utah. Here's how much room a baseball field will take, and here's how much room a fountain would take, and here's how much room a community center would take. And then we were split into tables where they mixed, you know, somebody from Public Works with somebody from my department, with a council member, with a Parks Committee member. So we had four or five different tables. And then we gave each table some themes to come up with an idea around to how to build the park. And so, like, for instance, the theme that my table we got was the community living room. So when we designed it, I thought of, okay, here's our formal living room at the corner. We want a fountain, and then we're going to daylight some water, that we have some storm water that comes through there, make a little river and build a little bridge. So you know, brides could go have their pictures taken there, and the background could be the formal living room, or it can be the other side of the park, which is going to be really cool. In the center of the park, we put like this mountain kind of climbing wall that would be a like a natural climbing thing, like that park in St. George, where you can just go climb on all of the boulders and stuff and the rocks, a natural park kind of thing. And then next to that, but closer to Center Street, is kind of like our kitchen, is the way I looked at it. And that's our food truck area, and maybe some vendor areas with a little main street where you could have little shops that you could sell, you know, you could lease to vendors who wanted to do snow cones or hot dogs or, you know, slushies during the summer, maybe hot chocolate during the winter, things like that. And then, you know, so I had an area on my park for my table for the teens. You know, the teens are down by the freeway and the skate park ribbon, not a skate park, a skate ribbon, and not an ice ribbon, a skate ribbon, so that teenagers could enjoy the park too. And then the area for the mother-in-law, or the pickleball area. So there's a pickleball area with some other amenities there, a community center, you know, kind of like your regular family room. That's where we put the library and the dog park over in the corner, which I called the barking lot in mine. I thought that was really cute, so I'm going to call it that from now on. But anyway, it was really fun. And so we ended up having, you know, probably 10 to 15 different maps with different ideas and different themes. So we had somebody that did a theme with the Bamberger rail cars, and it's kind of a train theme, and thought of a train going through it. But they asked us to not worry about money. The idea here is to just think of the big ideas, and then we can let the policymakers decide what we can afford and what we can't afford later, because we don't want to pass up on a good idea that we might be able to find a way to pay for it just because we were too worried that it might cost too much. So that's where we're at as far as what we're trying to put into the park. Once we get all of these ideas kind of together, then we're going to meet with a consultant who will synthesize all of our input, and we'll kind of put our priorities out there, and then they'll come up with three plans that are formal plans that we will then put out in a public engagement to the entire citizenry through a survey, through a Qualtrics survey, and get some feedback from the public on the park's plans.
Who's the consultant?
I knew you were going to ask me that. And Mike Wannenberg, which firm is he with?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to find it out for you. But what I was hoping that we would do today is that the Planning Commission can give us some feedback as to what kind of things you think are important in the park, or what kind of things you want the steering committee to really look at when we're doing it. And I'm not sure, but maybe Mackenzie or Catherine might have additional information that they want to talk to you about, or add to what I said about the steering committee, if I missed anything.
I don't think you missed anything. I'm just excited to hear what everyone has to say. But Catherine, do you want to add anything right now? Start us off.
I think we've just kind of been settling from big ideas and then kind of placing some of those in the park boundaries, but other than that, we're still pretty on the big idea stage. So other than that, Sherry, I think you covered everything.
I think we're at that big idea stage, and it's kind of that big idea theme stage, and it's to make a decision about whether or not it's going to be, you know, whether it's going to have ball fields and it's going to be that kind of a park, or whether it's going to be, you know, a park that is a community gathering instead of a sports gathering park or a multi-use park. What are the things we're going to do? So
Sherry, can I, this is Ron. So thanks for the briefing on that. I'm very excited about this, but one of the things I just wanted to clarify was when we did the city tour, and this was probably just, you know, wishful thinking, but there was some mention, you know, eventually there could be an on-ramp going northbound on the I-15. Is that something that's just kind of fanciful thinking or something that might be in the plans down the road?
It's actually not fanciful thinking, because the state of Utah has provided some planning money for an I-15 widening project. I'm sure that's what everyone wants to hear right now. That they're going to be widening basically our section next from here to Farmington. So we've met with the consultants, and that item came up the other day because we had a meeting with them, and we were in that same kind of think big stage. What is it that the city wants? And so as we looked at it, I asked the question of, could we move that section of the freeway over or west as we rebuild that overpass, that, or maybe we have to do a bridge. There's some things that came out of that idea. But if we moved it west, where there's that little business before you get to the railroad tracks,
yeah,
it could provide enough room for a northbound on-ramp right there. So that is one of the ideas that we tossed around with some of the consultants that are working on responses to the RFP that has been put out.
So part of my reason for asking was just kind of trying to think in terms of logistics when you might do something. But, you know, I'm somebody who spent many, many years on that middle field practicing little league football. So I've spent a lot of time at Hatch Park. One of the things, you know, my observation, and I don't mean to demean the park, but one of the things that defines it is the proximity of the freeway and the freeway noise. So I went down the other day and actually took out my little handheld NIOSH sound level meter. And, you know, the noise level kind of in the middle of the park is about 70 dB. You know, a quiet residential area would be 50 dB. Creekside Park, where I like to go, and Bountiful, one of my favorite parks, or Tunnel Springs Park, considerably quieter. I'm just wondering if any thought had been, or any look had been done at the feasibility of trying to mitigate some of that noise. You know, sound walls are obviously really popular. I'm not an expert on them, but, you know, if you could achieve a 5 or 10 dB sound reduction, I think that would make, you know, if you're trying to do nature type of things, that might be more possible in more portions of the park. The way I looked at it is, until you get to the Main Street side of the park, it's kind of noisy. The lower part, it's kind of noisy. So that was kind of my biggest thing. If you really wanted to enhance, you know, the quality of the experience in the town center and in Hatch Park, somehow find a way to mitigate some of that noise.
I wish I could show you some of the maps that we all drew up last night, because every single map but next to the freeway put like intensive landscaping and raised the berm and put tons of thick vegetation so that and that can also help with the sound attenuation. Because I think one of the problems that we have with sound walls, at least this is my understanding of it, the sound wall helps the person who's right next to the sound wall. It doesn't necessarily help the people who are away from it, because now then that pushes the sound up over their houses and you can actually hear the sound farther away from the freeway, because it kind of reverberates up and over their house.
And greater impacts
on other neighbors. So I'm not saying that it's just not the only thing that we want to do. We don't want to.
Yeah, I'm not advocating the sound walls. I just think that if there's a way to mitigate noise, that would be helpful, because, again, I like the idea of, you know, probably the mixed use personally. And I still wonder whether, you know, some additional, there's an existing, you know, rail stop interpretive sign just north of the basketball. I wonder if that kind of thing could be expanded, maybe even made into a plaza, an entry point down in the corner. But anyway, I think, you know, a mixed use with some of the nature on the far side, away furthest away from the freeway, would be desirable. Somewhere that people could sit and relax and, you know, take in whatever kind of nature features are there. But anyway, I think to me that's the challenge. Is there be a way to enhance the experience by mitigating noise?
Great.
And I just encourage the commission to just go ahead and chime in. We won't necessarily go person to person unless you all would like that, just so you each have a turn. But
I have some ideas. This is Elisa. I love the idea. I love these plans. They get me super excited. There's clearly been a lot of work and a lot of thought into this, and I am excited to see it finally coming to fruition. I know these things have been talked about for a lot of years. And when I was on the Parks and Arts Board, we were talking about these, but they were so hypothetical. It's really exciting to see them happening in real life now. So just to echo and add a voice of support, I love the idea of a community center somewhere on the property. And I know that that's in the plans. I love the trails map that you showed. And then I would also encourage that there is a trail, a loop around the park so that you can stay in the park, but do a loop. I know as like a mother with small children, that was something I loved about parks. So as much as that, and Hatch Park has that right now. So something like that. And then I also prefer, like, I like open spaces. We are not a big sports family, but I know that sports matters to a lot of families. I also know that it makes money for a city to have sports fields. So that's not the area that I would lean to, but I understand reasons why people would lean to more sports and athletic fields. But then something that I would maybe suggest for a discussion in your group is, where do other parks in the city fit into this planning? Like, I love this idea of drawing people into Hatch Park, but I know I live in Foxborough by another really big park that was intended to be a regional park, and having people drawn into Foxborough to that park has proven to be, it happens, but there's also some drawbacks for that, some parking drawbacks, some maintenance drawbacks at the splash pad, that it's been difficult when there's been misuse or there's maintenance issues. So just maybe a conversation to say, how will Legacy Park be impacted by this park? Are we hoping that park becomes more of a neighborhood park and less of a place where we're drawing people toward the park? Or is that the park where we have paid fields? I know that we do football and we do soccer at Legacy Park. Maybe that's the athletic fields, and then Hatch Park becomes not that, or we have mixed use at both places. But just that discussion for a minute. How does this look with Legacy Park? How does this affect Legacy Park?
I'm really excited.
This is great work. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Sherry.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, are you saying that the parks should not duplicate each other, or they should complicate, and they should complement each other's uses? Am I getting that right?
I would say just an awareness that they will be impacted. So do we want them to complement, or do we want them to not duplicate? Whatever we want, I have no preference of what that is. But just an awareness of, we have a big regional park. It is not as well suited to drawing people toward this park as Hatch Park will be after it's redesigned. So maybe that means Legacy Park is no longer sought to be a regional park, and it is meant. And so just an awareness, a discussion of, we're doing this on purpose instead of, well, that kind of happened.
How does it fit in with the context of other parks? And I would also even include parks in adjacent municipalities. You know, what are the needs that nearby parks are filling? And one point I'd like to make is, I don't have data on this, and I bet you the consultant does, so I definitely defer, but you know, there's a basic supply demand calculus, which is different than a survey response or a gut feeling. And so, however, this is my hypothesis. My hypothesis is that baseball participate, if there's sporting facilities here, that's what I'm addressing. I'm not actually saying I think there should be sporting facilities. I agree with Commissioner V's point that maybe this is not the sporting facility park. Town Center Park, guiding principle for me, it's able to be used for lots of different purposes. It's very flexible. It welcomes heavy programming, right? You can get lots of people using it for tons of different kinds of events. And then there's a synergy with the idea of nearby restaurants and public transportation and you know, people that don't have a yard space, so that it all fits. Those things complement each other that way. That said, if there are sporting facilities, I think there's a supply demand calculus. Now, my hypothesis is that baseball participation is way low compared to when all these parks were originally developed. Soccer participation is way high, but here's the supply side. I know that across all of South Davis County, some moron decided that we should take out all of the soccer goalposts at every single elementary school, seriously, in all of South Davis County. So now there are no goalposts at any elementary school. So that's just something to share with the consultant, that there's actually, it's not just how many the participation, it's also what are the facilities. And somebody just completely, like literally 90% of the play spaces for soccer were taken out because Johnny broke his nose or something. I'm not bitter though, in case it sounds like I'm bitter. And I am dominating the mic, so I'm gonna stop. I have a couple other points, but I'll save them.
So I'm just gonna write this down. So your kind of question is, what other facilities exist, or what other facilities have been removed or that no longer exist?
Yeah, it's sort of participation levels versus available facilities.
Okay.
The broader point is I'm not sure that this is the sports park. That's the broader point. The secondary point is, if there are sports, I think that there's the supply demand calculus. I bet you it's not baseball.
Well, we talked a little bit about tournaments, and one of the things with like baseball tournaments or the softball tournaments that are all the rage, right? Like brings all these people into town. I mean, in order to really put on good tournaments, you've got to have like 8 softball fields, like all together, really, to host the big Triple Crown or whatever. Otherwise, people are running all over to 50 million parks. And so maybe this park isn't the park for thinking about those types of sporting facilities where we could host tournaments. That should be in a more over in Legacy Park, maybe.
I agree with that also, because those tournaments require massive parking as well. And we don't want a sea of parking at this park. I think that's been known at this one, so.
That's a problem for Legacy Park too, though. Maybe we're just not the city that runs these huge tournaments because we don't have the parking space for that, and maybe don't prioritize the parking space for that, which I support.
Or we need a bus to get them there.
I just wanted to say one last thing about baseball. The baseball diamond doesn't lend itself to flexible use.
Right.
That's the problem, one of the problems with baseball diamonds. Okay, other voices. Bill, Brandon, Brianna, there's some alliteration there.
Maybe I can add a few things that have been prioritized in our meetings that might get juices flowing for you folks. So one of the things that keeps being brought up, and that was something that was required of us when doing our drafted plans last night, was that we had a main point of interest or a feature of some sort that was really cool and made the park different. Another thing that was brought up was there is drainage already here, and so there's water that we can access and bring up to create water features or daylight the creek, things like that. So that kind of opens up more possibilities with what can be planned. Sherry?
There's a major storm, it's a stormwater collection system. And our engineer reports that massive quantities of water go through there that we could incorporate. And it's year round, that it goes through there year round, that we could incorporate it into a water feature.
Oh, so that's a great idea.
We're really excited about, because people love water.
Yeah.
I'd just like to hear if anybody has any like thoughts on themes for the park.
Again, I think we need to try to draw out some of the tidy history with the Bamberger Railroad. And again, my view was an entry point, maybe down on the southeast corner. It could be like the Bamberger Plaza and with some interpretive signs and some of the history. There's a really nice sign there that tells you about the formation of Hatch Park and the original town council and so forth. I think that the other comment, and I'm going to shut up because I realize I'm over participating here, but mature trees, you know, they're a real premium. I would think that if we could salvage some of the mature trees that are on the north and the east side, eventually maybe they could be superseded when other trees grow up. But anyway, I would hope rather than just clearing all that stuff, lock, stock, and barrel, and starting with small planter trees, we could try to make use of some of the nice trees that are there. Some of them may not be the most desirable, but maybe even a Russian olive casts shade, right? So
one of the big ideas was a tree house. And so it would be fun to build a tree house in one of the trees. So
yeah,
that was one big idea.
They even talked about, like, these ideas are huge, you guys. There was even talk of an actual playground resembling a massive tree that would be interactive. And that's another thing that the steering committee keeps going back to, is not just a standard playground, but a playground that a kid can interact with. And if one goes and pulls a lever on one side, it does something on the other, and things like that, that are more, I don't know if I want to say educational. I don't know.
Hands-on,
not just your cookie cutter playground is what
not passive recreation, active recreation.
Yes.
One of the things I wanted to convey, and then I think I basically hit my main points, but is just how the edges of the park interact with the town center. And so one key corner, and Commissioner Jorgensen already mentioned this, the southeast corner, that's a key corner for the town center. And so if there's a real physical presence on that corner of something, I'm not sure what, that's great. But as it currently sits, that's like a forgotten corner, you know? And parking should reinforce beautiful edges and not detract from beautiful edges. And you already made the point, Sherry, but that's that big parking lot sucks life from the feeling of Center Street.
One of my favorite ideas for parking is to do like a Liberty Park thing, like have an interior loop. So you have landscaping on the outside of the park on your edge and have that interior loop, and then have pockets, little pockets of parking. And then if you have little flat areas that are grass, you can use that for extra parking when there's big events. But then it spreads out that parking and doesn't put it all in one spot.
I like to spread out I don't know what the name of the street on the north of the park is. What is that one?
150 North.
So I think you could have diagonal parking that where people back into that street, and that just helps maximize the space of the park as well. So, all right, I'm done.
Sherry and Mackenzie, so it looks like you're trying to hone in on a theme. Is that right? Are you guys thinking like a broad theme? You're looking for a broad theme like water, or are you looking for like a very tight theme like Dare to Dream or something like that? Like what do you mean by theme?
Well, I'm just putting that out there. Like, we had different themes that had been suggested by various committee meetings. So we had like
pirates.
Yeah,
like, or is it just like
outer
tree house, or are we wanting to have it be like a theme that is like an Olympic theme that's inspiring, and the park branches off of that? Or so by theme,
is it like a design theme, like snowflake? I mean,
exactly.
I'm with the commissioner. I don't really.
I'm having a hard time.
I guess more in the lines of it. Let's say we were going to pick a historic theme.
Okay.
So we wanted to be a historic theme, so we were going to go with the Bamberger rail car theme.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have train things in there. We'll have history built into them you know, that way. Maybe we'll have a small train around the park that you could ride on. Or maybe the theme is, you know, like the community living room theme. So this is a park for everybody to come and hang out and fun things to do for all different ages. Or is the theme, you know, festival park? Is it a park that's set up for just festivals? Or is the theme maybe, like you said, maybe it's like other parks have done things. Like I've seen the park in Pleasant Grove that was the wooden fort park. Or you had the
castle park in Farmington.
Even I said, like, we could have a big feature, like, let's get a big dragon that's life size and blows, you know. It's a dragon park.
Yeah, that's good. And so I think any ideas that the commission has on this, and maybe we can start to bring the discussion to a close, unless Sherry, you or Catherine have other questions that you want to explore with us. I guess I have one last question I'd pose to everybody for a few minutes that might be helpful. What's the acreage of the park after the property acquisitions? Roughly.
Is it 9 acres? That's what's popping into my head. Let me check real quick.
While she checks that really quick, something we haven't, I don't think we've touched on, is the steering committee also has had a huge, one of our big points that we keep talking about is timelessness. So we are really trying to avoid a theme that in 10 years is going to be irrelevant, something that's going to stay timeless and stay cool for years and years and years. So just a little add.
It's not going to be the TikTok park.
Yeah, exactly.
A bunch of interactive TikTok features.
15.5 acres.
That's pretty darn big. And what's Liberty? Do we know offhand?
Not offhand, but I know how to figure it out.
Maybe.
Let's see, 70.
Yes.
Where am I at? That's it right there.
One, two.
I mean, I will say when we were doing our drafts last night, the
105.
Oh yeah, okay. All right.
I mean, the scale is still, there's a ton of room in that park to do a lot of different things. It surprised me a little bit. So plenty of room for stuff.
So my question was just if you all think of, well, I have a favorite park and it's at least very roughly the size of Hatch Park. In other words, your favorite park couldn't be Central Park because it's not an analog. And it couldn't be Liberty Park because that's too big. But if you can think of a smallish or medium-sized park anywhere in the world, you know, what is that analog that you would say, I like this? Tell the consultant that. So I'll give you an example. Jameson Square in Portland. That's not that big. That's like an acre or two. And it's very urban. It's very family friendly. And it's iconic. And it's really, it's become a famous park, even though it's only 20 years old or something like that. Utah doesn't have the best urban parks. Right?
Yeah,
what are the great urban parks in Utah?
We should do it though. Let's show everybody else what they should do.
We could outclass the field. It could actually be what puts North Salt Lake on the map.
Yeah. And this is not the last time you're going to have input. So I don't want you to feel pressure to come up with anything. We just want to introduce this to you and get your mind thinking of it, because you might 2 days from now go, you know, that park I saw in, I don't know, wherever, Harriman has this feature, and you should, the steering committee should take a look at those things. You know, take a look at this park. So you can send us anything anytime.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Sherry, for bringing this to us. Catherine, I'm so glad you're on that with your expertise, and appreciate the opportunity to share some thoughts. Tell him one of the commissioners really likes Jameson Square.
I've wrote it down.
All right.
I have one more piece. Please, not a Western theme.
Not a Western theme. Okay.
I love the railroad, and I think that we could ride the railroad theme. I love the historical theme. We could also do like orchards. I love that, but don't ride the railroad into the Western theme. Oh, no. Just my opinion.
I like that. In fact, that hasn't come up. A Western theme has nobody's come up with that idea.
Railroads might roll into Western, though. That's the only part that I would be worried about.
Yeah, some of the times when we say railroad, that's why I keep trying to say streetcar, the hamburger streetcar instead of railroad, because railroad is not our favorite word in this city, especially on Center Street.
We talked in Parks and Arts once about like using that as a transportation theme. So we had like an area where there was a train, but then there was an area that was like horses, or an area that was rocket ships, or like all these different transportation ideas that started with the railroad, but didn't end there, but just not Western. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
I got your back.
Okay. Did anybody else have something they wanted to just convey before we wrap up on this?
I wanted to ask about the Chick-fil-A property. What's going on there?
So Chick-fil-A is testing the site. The owner of the City Creek Chick-fil-A, they've had some loss in foot traffic, obviously, because of the pandemic. And so corporate has a couple of these, I don't know, for lack of a better word, chicken wagons. So they will have this for 2 to 6 months and they want to test out North Salt Lake to see if there's something, if it would be feasible and would be supported to build a real Chick-fil-A here and in Fox.
So are they looking to build on that site?
No.
They're just testing North Salt Lake in general.
Yep.
Where are they locating this?
A better site for them to test.
It's across the street from Lee's.
Okay.
Oh yeah. So for those of you that don't know, at the Family Dollar store that's now closed, Chick-fil-A has leased that site to operate a chicken food truck, and they have a whole little kind of drive-up system through there. And
but they're not looking for that spot.
No, they're not looking for that spot. There would be other spots
is that spot for sale?
That spot is for lease. Or for sale, apparently, but not. Chick-fil-A doesn't want to go there. It's not big enough for Chick-fil-A. You've seen Chick-fil-A. I mean, they're not. That's not quite big enough. So there are other sites that are better. There's even a better testing site that I'm trying to hook them up with that we can move them to, that wouldn't have any conflict with any other business or a daycare.
When does Amazon open?
I think they want to be in there. So they've gotten their temporary occupancy for the shell. So now what happens is Amazon itself takes possession of the property from the developer and starts bringing in their conveyor equipment, all of their interior, their shelving, and that could take a couple of months. So they are saying they'd like to be in it in April, but the target date was June 1st. So we'll see.
Cool. Thank you.
And I'm going to go check. Have any of you that have been down there, how are the lights at night? Because I've had a complaint and I was going to go down and check it tonight on my way home. Is it really bright at night, their lights in the parking and stuff?
I'll go look, but I haven't noticed. I mean,
I haven't noticed. Okay. Well, just if you're out and about in the evening and you're going by Amazon, let me know. But I'm going to go check it out tonight after this meeting. So.
Cool. So let's unless there's something else on this topic, let's move to item 6, the report on City Council actions on items recommended by the Planning Commission.
Which we don't have any yet because we haven't, everything we've been doing is conditional use permits. So I feel a perfect storm coming. I have several really big applications that are probably all going to be ready in the same meeting. Unfortunately, I'm just well, sitting there waiting for them to turn in their red lines. And I'm just like, they're all going to turn in their red lines at the same time and all expect to be
on the agenda. I've kind of wanted Catherine and Ron to know, hey, this is not normal.
Yeah, this is not normal.
Like all of these slow meetings, but.
It's just the projects that we're working on are kind of big and complex. So the Eaglewood Cove and a couple other ones that they just are too many corrections that we want them to have those corrections done before they come to you. So you have the shortest list of conditions in your recommended motion that we can come up with.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So bring it on.
You're up for a long night, guys. it's going to be a long one.
We should send them snack packs or something for that night with your.
When I deliver packets.
You deliver everyone... the packet, but sorry, Brandon, you don't get
it. I was just going to say everyone gets it except for Brandon.
I actually don't get the I don't get the joke, so anyway.
He doesn't get packets anymore. I just send
him. Got it. Okay.
He opted out of the paper packet.
Oh, Mother Earth.
Being a good citizen, a good caretaker of the earth will punish him. All right. So let's go to the approval of minutes from February 9th, 2021. Thank you, Andrea, for your minutes. Are there any modifications? I had a ticky-tacky modification, but I will note it, which is on, dang it. Okay, come back to me.
I have one. It's on line item 166. It's talking about me saying that I said their parking plan could include a route driving path. Just some word that would say it mattered not to me, or like she did not think it was important whether it included the route path. I was not making that as a recommendation, just saying, sure, that could be there, but it's not important to me. Something along those lines.
I found my change, and upon reflection, I think it's actually fine. So I'm going to let it go. Any other changes? And I'd take a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the planning committee approve the meeting minutes from February 9th, 2021 with the changes that were mentioned.
Okay, thanks, Commissioner Larson. Is there a second?
Second from Ron.
Thanks, Commissioner Jorgensen. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, and that motion carries. And so is there any other closing business? All right. Thanks, everybody. Be safe. One day it will end, right?
Yeah.
Everybody get your vaccination as soon as you can.
I want you to drop my plaque off at my house so that I can set it on my desk when I do this. From the city. I'm just kidding. But I do miss seeing you guys in person.
We miss it too.
Absolutely.
I kind of like the Zoom meetings for other things, but I miss the regular planning commission and city council meetings.
Yeah, it's helpful for some things, but I do miss working together in person.
I'm glad that I didn't have to go to Ogden today for the UDOT meeting. That was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
See y'all.
Thank you.
A couple of weeks. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.